All right, how many of you guys ready to get into the Word? Word? All righty, so today we're going to start three stories of prayer. So for the next couple few weeks, we're going to dive into three instances in Scripture where someone prayed and they received different types of results. So I just got an intro slide, that's all. Today. So Eric, if you'd go ahead and pull that up there. So today we're going to be talking about a prayer of desire. And we're going to be looking at a gentleman by the name of Jabez. Can you say Jabez? Jabez. Say it with some soul in your soul. Jabez. Jabez. There's only one place that you find the name Jabez in Scripture, and it's alluding to only one person, and it has to do with a simple prayer that he prayed and the amazing response that he experienced with God. Now, I've shared this before, I'm pretty sure on a Wednesday, but nonetheless, it was a directive that I felt in my heart that we needed to go. So when you look at Jabez's prayer, and we're going to read the verse here in a second, but when you look at Jabez's prayer, what you're going to see is a prayer of desire. There's a numerous amount of prayers that you find in Scripture for various circumstances and situations. But this is a prayer of a desire that was within the heart and the soul of Jabez, and a desire for change, a desire to have more, a desire for safety in his life. And so what we're going to read is a simple prayer of desire. So let me read it before we jump into it. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. Now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. Can you say more honorable? And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. So God granted him what he requested. Such a simple prayer, but yet a simple prayer that is the byproduct of a deep desire. How many of you got some deep desires in your heart? Come on, give me some hands or something. Sometimes in order for God to respond to the depth of our soul, it doesn't require a depth of petition. But it does require a truth of petition. And what do I mean by that? What I mean is, in order for God to respond to us, there is a requirement of us being truthful with God in spite of our circumstances. Now, we're just going to go through the verse. I'm going to try not to jump ahead, and we're just going to go through a process, through a progress of what we see first. We're going to talk first. So the first thing that we come across is the reality that Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. I really like the fact that this story starts off with this little fact. It didn't have to start off with this fact. It could have just started off with how he was born and how his mother gave him a bad name. And then because of his name, he had a reputation. And then he wanted to make some change within that reputation or because of that reputation. And so he just prayed this prayer to God. But before all that started, the writer of this book, or the Holy Spirit, wanted us to realize I like to think of it as a prerequisite of some sort before this prayer of desire was offered unto God. And it's just this reality check, this little fact of the matter, that before Jabez petitioned God for what he wanted, there was this reality that he was an honorable man. Honorable. What does honorable mean? Honorable means possessing or having character of high principles. It means having honorable intentions. It means being worthy of or entitled to honor or high esteem. So before we look at what he asked God, let's look at what he was, who he was as a man. The character that he walked with, the character that he lived with, the choices that he made and how he made them, how he treated people and the life that he lived. Sometimes when we see big prayers being answered in people's life, all we see is the answer of the prayer, but we fail to recognize the foundation in which the prayer was petitioned by. We don't know what goes on behind the closed doors. We don't know the cry in the midnight hour. We don't know the pain that has been experienced. We don't know the sacrifice that has been made. Sometimes we see prayers answered in people's lives and we don't realize that this prayer was prayed 10 years ago and that this person has been faithful to the prayer, faithful to the process, faithful to God. And in the season, which was 10 years post the prayer itself, it came to pass. But what we need to realize before we start wondering about answered prayers, or what we need to take note of, is, are we living an honorable life? Are we living with high esteem? Are we living with a strong character? Do we operate within the principles of God? Because I cannot get up here and preach a message about the prayer of desire without first us realizing the reality that before we should consider praying to God based off of desire, we should take some inventory, take some stock of our own lives and ask ourselves the question, are we honorable enough to even come before God and start praying this prayer of desire? Ooh, look at someone and say, are you breathing? Smack them. Say, wake up, Joker. Or say, wake up, beautiful. Maybe that'll get their attention. You don't have to like it. You just got to hear it. Amen? So Jabez was honorable. And in spite of his circumstance. Have you known somebody to be, Have you known somebody to be honorable when their circumstances was clean? But then when their circumstances got dirty, that honor went out the door. That character dwindled a little bit. That Mr. Righteous who comes to church all looking good and talking good and praising good, all of a sudden has lost some of that good because their circumstances wasn't so good. I know you're thinking of somebody, you just ain't wanting to look their direction or call their name out or anything like that. Jabez was not in the best of situations. See, there was a reason he was named Jabez, and actually his name represented pain. And the reason he was given the name Pain was because he caused his mom to endure pain through the birthing process. Now, that's a no-brainer. Now, I cannot speak from experience, right, fellas, or husbands, or dads? We can't speak from experience, but I can speak from seeing the look in my wife's eyes when she was having emerald. She had C-sections, the other two, but the look in her eyes, I can just tell, man, this woman's in some pain. That's a given. But there is something additional here that the word really don't describe to cause this woman. And Jabez wasn't the first, because we see in the scripture prior that Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. So he had siblings. So Jabez was nothing new to his mama. But yet there was something that occurred that made her experience worse than the other. And it was so bad, she labeled him as the son of pain. And this name carried on with him. This name followed him, because in Bible times, you were a byproduct of your name. And so his life represented pain. His identity represented pain. His purpose represented pain. Who he was as a man represented pain. When he would be walking down the street, there's pain coming. When he would go over to somebody's house, there's pain in the house. He was not a well-liked, socially accepted dude because of the bad sign or the bad juju that his mama placed on him. Pain. Who wants pain? Who likes pain in the house? You like pain? Pain can be a little fun, but typically in general speaking, we don't like pain. But in spite of this label, in spite of this identity, this man was considered more honorable than his brothers. In spite of our pain, can we be honorable? In spite of our circumstances, can we carry high character? In spite of what we're feeling, in spite of being rejected, in spite of circumstances being good one day and maybe struggling the next day, can we still be labeled and carry an identity of being honorable? Because this man did. And I'm hitting a good amount on this, because we have to understand this to really get to the reasons of why his prayer was even answered. Some situations we find ourselves in, it's not our fault, is it? His identity was not his fault. But he still was an honorable man. But you know what? Our circumstance may not be our fault, but how we deal with things in our life is our choice. Oh, look at someone and say, that one's for you. I didn't want to say, but you know it's the truth. It's so important for us to realize that in spite of what we go through, in spite of what comes our way, we must be honorable. Amen? So it's our choice. And if we stay the same, it's our choice. We might have been brought into a situation that's not our fault, and that situation might has created a label, a purpose, an identity on us, but we do not have to stay the same. Amen? We do not have to stay the same. So Jabez had this moment with God, this simple prayer that was a cry of his heart. And it says in verse 10, and Jabez called on the God of Israel. Let's just get this out of the way. When we first need change, God is the first we should go to. Amen? When we first need change, God is the first that we should go to. This man who had a faulty identity, who was given a position in life that he didn't ask for, who had a struggle that he didn't have what his heart yearned for, decided to make a change, and his first step of action and execution was to call out to his God. It wasn't to go try to fix it himself, or try to get other people to fix it, or to get his mama to change his name. But his first step of action for change was to go to God. And when he went to God, he prayed. He called out. We don't see in Scripture that he gave a sad story. We don't see in Scripture that he put the blame on God. We don't see in Scripture that he had issues with his mama. No, he just went to God and he called out for change. It's easy to go to God and ask why, huh? It's easy to go to God and give him the 10 reasons we don't want to be in what we're in. It's easy to go to God and start pointing the finger at everybody else. My daddy did this to me. My brothers did this to me. My sisters did this to me. My grandparents never did this for me. My teachers, I was never popular with my teachers. They always said I was cheating. I was never given this opportunity. I was never given that opportunity. Isn't it so stinking easy to point our finger at somebody else? I was never given this opportunity on the job. The boss man liked that person a little bit better. And some of those might be right, and some of those might be true. But when we go to God, we don't need to go to God with some mumbling, complaining, griping, broke down, like we nothing attitude. We need to go to God with faith that he can take anything and turn it around for our good. And he's willing to, because we are his sons and his daughters. Amen. See, God don't like complainers. Let's just remind ourselves of that. God don't like complainers. He don't like mumbling and grumbling. He don't like pansies. He don't like people who's weak when they should be strong. He don't like dealing with a bunch of babies, because that's what Israel was in the wilderness, and he rebuked them for it. He judged them for it. In fact, when they complained so much, he just gave them an overload of quail, an overload of meat, that they ate so much meat it made them sick. They was forced to live a plant-based diet. Or they wished they could live a plant-based diet. You meat lovers, if you was in their position and God gave you so much meat that you was throwing it up and doing what else with it, you would hope to God he would give you some cabbage one day. Amen. God ain't cool with mumbling and grumbling. But what God is cool with is coming to him in faith and crying out with all of our heart. And it's a cry based off of our position. And our position is we are sons and daughters of the Father of life, the creator of this world, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. So we don't got to go to God like we broke, like we sick, like we don't have something going on, like we at the bottom of the totem pole, like we never have an opportunity. We got an opportunity, and that opportunity comes through Jesus Christ when he died on the cross and rose from the grave. We just got to exercise that opportunity. Amen. So he came to God. Now, in this version, it says, and Jabez called on God. But when you really dive into what it means when he says called on God, it means to cry unto God. Like that little baby that was crying about 5 minutes ago. Man, I don't miss that. I'm so glad I don't got that in my house anymore. We got babies coming out of the woodworks around here, and that's how we're going to grow the church for one way or the other. Amen. Woo. But I'm so glad I can just pray for you and leave you in the name of Jesus. Oh, that's a sweet little baby. There you go. Adios. To cry, it actually means to utter a loud sound. It means to call unto. It means to cry for help, not just a cry to cry. It means to call with the name of God coming out of that call. So when Jabez got down to business, he called, he cried, he made a loud noise unto God. In all reality, it was a cry of desperation. And his cry leads us into the next one. Oh, can you say, oh? This oh was a oh of desperation. Oh, would you bless me indeed? I was sick this week, and a whole bunch of times I was like, oh! Oh, God, get this monster out of me. I cried, oh, of desperation. Koa in the bathroom, me in the den. We were both at the same time making music that only a father and son can make music like. We were both, oh, 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 oh. And then in between, here comes Abigail. Oh, oh. We had cries of desperation this past week. We had a need that we needed met. God didn't heal us. He made our immune systems get better and stronger. Thank God Lorana didn't get sick. She just had enough of me this weekend, so she went out of town today. So watch out, whoever said that. I'm a good thing. I'm a good thing. No, seriously, though. He had a cry of desperation. Oh, would you bless me? Indeed. Not a normal blessing. Not just an average blessing, but above average blessing, a noticeable blessing, an unexplainable blessing. I know I'm blessed, I'm living. I know I'm blessed, I got a family. I know I'm blessed, things could be a lot worse. But God, would you bless me indeed? I don't want to just barely get by. I don't just want to eat the crumbs off the table. I don't want to be just another brother. I don't want this label of pain residing over who I am as a human being. Would you change my circumstances? Would you do something different with me? Would you bless me indeed? Have you ever been there where you're grateful, but yet something was dissatisfied, like your soul wasn't satisfied? And I'm not talking about the discontentment that we have in the world at times, and that can go along with the scripture where Paul says to be content with all things. I'm not meaning speaking in that way, in that context. I mean something on the inside of you. Yes, you're blessed. Yes, it could be worse. Yes, you're grateful for these things, but there's just something more that your soul is yearning for. You ever been there? Done that, bought the t-shirt. Well, this was his cry. He wanted more. He wanted to be blessed indeed. And he cried out to God. And then after he said, oh, that you would bless me indeed, he didn't stop. He didn't take the guilt trip of, okay, I've already asked enough. Have you ever been there where, you know, you prayed for something big, and then you're like, okay, I can't pray for nothing more, but as if God, you know, is limited by some type of resources that he can bless us with? Have you ever been there? I've been there. I prayed for a lot, and then I felt guilty for praying for anything else. But if your soul is yearning, and your circumstances is requiring, we can't let a religious thought of not asking God for more to stop us from crying out to God for more. Amen? So he didn't let the indeed request stop him. He then continued and he said, and he asked for him to enlarge his territory. To enlarge, that word territory actually means borders. In other words, to increase what is currently stopping him. to allow him to go beyond his current ability, to allow him to go beyond his current identity, to allow him to go beyond what has been allotted unto him, to allow him to go beyond what he was labeled as, to allow him to go beyond what he is able to produce with his own two hands. Increase, enlarge, expand my borders. And that word borders there actually means to become many. It means to be numerous. It means to multiply by people, animals, and things. It means to be or to grow great. Woo! Someone needs to get a hold of that. If Jabez, this funky named joker that you only see in the scripture one time, can rise up out of his circumstance and be like, God, bless me indeed, enlarge my territory. In other words, make me great, make me numerous, multiply my people, my animals, my things, whether it be now or I have to grow into it, just enlarge my borders. If he can do it, guess who else can do it? Guess who else can do it? I can do it. You can do it. What's that movie? You can do it. What movie is that? Waterboy. All right, there you go. There you go. That's not really how Southern Cajuns act in that movie, just so that you know. So seriously, he didn't let it stop him. He cried out to be great. He didn't let status quo, or he didn't become settled with status quo. He didn't become comfortable with what was just handed to him. You know, I think that's one of the biggest mistakes that a lot of us make in life. We just over process and over time, we become comfortable with just what is handed to us. I've seen it in marriages. I've seen it in families. I've seen it in careers. People go through steps of a process long enough that they just get comfortable with the process. But the outcome of the process is not supplying joy, it's not supplying happiness, it's not giving peace, it's not presenting the promises of God that he has given us as his children. And we just get comfortable with what is just given to us. See, I don't agree with that. We are given what we're given for a season and for a time, but if God has put something in you. And remember, we, and this goes back to the very beginning. See, Jabez's request could be trusted. Not everybody's request of greatness can be trusted. Not everybody's prayer of increase can be trusted. But Jabez was honorable. Honorable equates to trustworthiness. So because he was honorable, he was trusting. And because he was trusting, he could ask these types of prayers without having a self-glorifying agenda. Am I making sense? Sometimes when you speak this kind of message, people get really excited because the first thing that's going through their mind is a bigger house, a faster car, a higher jacked up truck, more money in the bank, all that kind of stuff. And I'm not speaking against that. There's a time and place for all things in God, and I'm just such a believer that God wants us blessed in life. But it's very important that that is not the center of our cry, that that's not the fuel on the fire. And us being honorable or being honorable is really what separates ulterior motives from pure motives. So Jabez was crying out for greatness. Jabez was crying out for increase, crying out for his borders to expand. But his cries was trusted because he was honorable. Maybe sometimes certain prayers maybe are not answered because maybe there is a struggle in our life that opposes being honorable. Is that a possibility? Just a maybe for some of us? Let's move on. I'll tell you what. I'm going to end with there. So I could probably keep you another hour or two. You guys want to stay another hour? You had that nervous laugh. You didn't want to say no, because I'd probably say something to you. Yeah, but you didn't want to say yeah, so just that nervous laugh. Oh, God, I hope not. I want something to eat. Yeah, I'm going to shut up. I've been going 30 minutes. But this is what Louis, you guys can go ahead. Come on. I hope you don't mind a laid-back message. I didn't figure I'd finish this today. I just didn't know exactly where I was going to end at, but I just felt it when I just felt it just in the last 30 seconds. So this is what I want you to go home with. I want you to go home with two things. I want you to go home with a thought of checking, or us go home with a thought of checking our inventory on us being honorable or not. Because if we're not honorable, the rest of this truly isn't applicable to us at this time in our life. It's still a truth, but it's not a truth. It's not a truth for individuals who may not choose to live an honorable life. Because if we're not honorable, how can God trust us with these types of cries? How can God trust us with increase? How can God trust us with greatness? How can God trust us? But if we're honorable, honorable before God, honorable with men, then God can trust us because we're honorable. And we make honorable choices. Not that we're perfect always. But the gist of it is we're honorable. We're trustworthy. And because we're honorable and we're trustworthy, then we can go before God and we can cry out for change and we can cry out for increase and we can cry out for the desires of our heart, and He can trust us that we're not going to misuse it. We're not going to abuse it. That in some form or fashion, He's going to get the glory from it. And we're not going to be blessed and run. You know, some people, they get blessed and they run. They check out. But if we're honorable and God can trust us, we're not going to get blessed and run. We're not going to make it about us. But we're going to make our blessings about Him. We're going to make the desires of our heart about Him. We're going to make what He gives us about Him. We're going to make the change in our circumstance and the change in our life and the change in our identity about Him. And know this as you leave here. God wants to bless you. God wants to bless you. He's a good Father. He's a good Creator. He wants to bless you, but more than He wants to bless you, He wants you to be honorable, because without honor, you can't be a light. Without honor, we can't be trusted. Without honor, there is a limitation on our walk with Him and our connection with Him and on how He uses us out in the world. So when we leave here today, let's leave here taking some inventory on us being honorable or not. And then after that, leave here realizing, as sons and daughters of God, we have the right to ask for God to bless us indeed, and we have the right to ask God to increase and enlarge our territory, to enlarge our borders. You don't have to stay where you're at if there is a longing in your soul for change. You don't have to do without if there's a longing in your soul for more. God wants you blessed. Amen. Stand to your feet this morning. Father, I just want to pray over my extended family, over our church this morning, that the overall message, the overall push of this word today is received, is applied, is taken to heart. The word on being honorable. Honorable with you and honorable in society. Honorable in the choices we make. The honorable in how we work. Honorable in being honest. Just being honorable in this life so that we can therefore be trustworthy of increase. Trusted of greatness. Trusted of us expanding beyond our borders, God. And Father, let every heart and every mind that is here today just know in their heart, just know in their thoughts that it is your desire and it is your will to bless them. That it is okay for them to pray for increase, and it is okay for them to pray for blessings. And it is okay for them to expect it from you, God. Because you're good. You're great. And your mercy endures forever. You are good. You're great. And your mercy endures forever. Can you say that with me? Lord, you're good. You're great. And your mercy endures forever. Woo, I feel it. Let's say it again. Lord, you're good. You're great. And your mercy endures forever. Come on, let's get that in our soul. Lord, you're good. Lord, you're great. And your mercy endures forever. Come on, can you just love Him this morning? Just praise Him. Close us out with a song. Close us out with a song, Lord.